Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson. .com. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
PeterDonaldson.com. Whenever you sort of hear someone say .com, you do think of the .com crash of the 2000s, where everybody bought like pets.com and stuff, and everything died. I wonder how, like, bearing in mind like, the internet was just flying at that point. I guess people, e-commerce wasn't really up and running at that point, so people lost a load of money like that. But you do sort of wonder, like, how did you mess this up? It's the biggest thing that could ever have been .com, and you messed it up. You spent too much money.
What a rant.
And but people came back to it. People came back to it and sort of, like, the internet might not have happened if these absolute imbeciles hadn't, thrown all their money in, willy-nilly, lost all of their money, and, like, imagine if we just went, nah, that didn't work, and that we just wouldn't have had the internet. We wouldn't have had a Chris Broad channel.
Would have been great. I'd be a fisherman somewhere in Vietnam, working only on weekends. yeah, too fair. Speaking of Vietnam, I discovered today that it's time for another war. No, I realised...
Sometimes I wake up and I'm still there.
I think Japan is... The Big Macs in Japan are cheaper than in Vietnam. I was looking at Big Mac Index because I'm working on a video about how expensive things are in Japan. And it seems Japan is formidably cheap right now. Like a joke price. If you have money that's not Japanese yen anyway. And it's like... Japan is like down the chart quite low with Vietnam and like Moldova, and it's great. It's kind of time for a Big Mac, I think.
Time for a Big Mac, I think. Yeah, it sounds very much like you, like you
research.
I think on the way back from Shenfield, where I'd stored that car that I was importing, I couldn't resist going past the McDonald's and not picking up something. So I did do a drive through and buy a Big Mac on the way to the MOT, which I don't think you're allowed to do. But I thought, you know what, may as well. The thing about McDonald's is, it is delicious. And the thing about McDonald's is, it will always probably be delicious. And it sucks. They are very much, they've got us by the ghoulies, so to speak, and we'll never give it up. But it's, at the end of the day, when you just need a bit of food, that's my advert for McDonald's this week. Like, I know it's bad, I know it's bad for you, but it'll always be here because we just love the milkshakes and we love the Big Macs. And the Japanese come up with a different kind of burger every week, and we get very excited about it, and we get limited versions of it over here. We'll occasionally get a mince pie at Christmas. Oh, dear. Never mind. I don't know why I went on that little flight of fancy.
Since moving to Tokyo, I have eaten a lot more variety of fast food because, you know, back in Sendai, we only had McDonald's. Mm. And then the day I left, I think a Burger King opened. As if to spite me. Alas. We've got Shake Shack in Tokyo, and it's a joke price, but it is quite good. Like, have you ever had a Shake Shack? I think I betrayed myself, because I used to rant about how much I hated Shake Shack, even though I'd never had one. and now I've had one and I've decided they're quite good, but they are a joke price. It's like, I think it's like five times the price of a McDonald's meal just to enjoy a Shake Shack. So I'm not sure about the price point, but it is good. And now I'm getting very hungry because I haven't had lunch. But I was looking at the Big Mac index, not because I was hungry, but because Japan is really cheap. And I got a video coming out this week called How Expensive Is It to Travel Japan? And the verdict is, it's actually pretty reasonable, I think. Like, in the 2000s, Japan had this reputation as being a very country expensive. That was just really expensive, right? And it kind of was. Like, I think in 2000, a Big Mac cost more than it did in America here, whereas now it's a lot cheaper. Yay! Inflation, deflation, a stagnant economy. Yeah. Even though this week alone, the Nikkei reached new heights, didn't it? We talked about the dot-com bubble earlier. Japan is currently surging in the stock market, even though it's in a recession. So it's quite hard to reconcile those two things, but I suppose.
Well, I mean, financial inequality would probably be one. Like,
that'll
the
do
city
it.
Does the city does well? Doesn't necessarily reflect the rich buy assets and keep being rich, and we just fail.
Well, I'd say if you've ever thought about coming to Japan, though, guys, like, now's the time. Like, seriously, when you came over last year, Pete, did you feel your money kind of went a lot further than on previous trips?
Like, because I think because the first time I went to Japan, it was like, I think a 1,000 yen was like cracking on for like half. You know what I mean? It was you know, it was like five quid. You know what I mean? It was really, really cheap stuff. And then it got so much worse for so many years. Every year I came, you get less for your money, less and less for your money. Everything seemed incredibly expensive. And then that last time I was like, geez, you're definitely worth, and especially like with, because we were, and especially because I was spending a lot of time like buying food, not in bulk, but like we were out in the sticks, and I was going to supermarkets, which surprised me how, like, the difference between like a rice ball in a supermarket versus the ones in like 7-Elevens. Like, you were buying rice balls for like, you know, 20p or something, and they were like really good stuff. So yeah, the prices are absolutely amazing, and and it's not as if the pound's strong. It's not as if any money around the world's that strong. But yeah, it's well worth that if you're gonna do it and you want to get a bit more bang for your buck, do it now.
Do it. Come on over this year. Make it this year if you can. We got a story this week from Steph from Australia. And it begins. Hello, Chris and Pete. I was in Japan in December and decided to go snowboarding in the lovely village of Nozawa Onsen in Nagano. Within 2 hours on the slopes, I had fallen and hurt my wrist badly enough that my instructor had to call for the patrol to pick me up. What is it with Nozawa Onsen? A good friend of mine, I think, broke his leg when he went there. My Japanese is not fluent. I luckily have enough to get around and hold basic conversations. So after some x-rays and a brief conversation with the intern taking them, I was seen by the doctor. And in Japanese, I was told I'd broken both bones in my arm and then something else I didn't fully understand. The doctor then said in English that we needed to put the bones back and I sound like a political slogan. And I was reassured that my injury was anything complicated and I'd soon be on the road to recovery. He had me lie down on the bed with my wrist in the air, perpendicular to the bed, and laid a towel over my bicep. Whilst I hadn't been able to translate all the information, I trusted he knew what he was doing and assumed he was getting me ready for a cast of some sort, naturally. However, when he climbed on the bed himself, I knew I'd totally misinterpreted something. What the Standing over me, on top of the towel, with a foot on either side of my arm, he grabbed my fingers with one hand and my thumb with the other. He had, in fact, been trying to tell me that I dislocated my wrist, along with breaking it, and this manoeuvre was part of putting the bones back.
Putting the bones back. It's the putting the bones back, doctor, everyone. Guys, come and see what the putting the bones back doctor is doing. It's putting the bones back.
Chilling. Oh my, this is horrible. I must have made some sort of horrified expression because he leaned down, patted my shoulder in English. He said, "You are strong." He then stood back up, yanked and twisted my wrist, which made a pop, then pinned into place while the intern reappeared to indeed cast it. After asking for some painkillers, I was sent back to my hotel with some pills, a wrist in a bright cast, and a good story. My God, have either of you ever had language barriers during medical experiences or medical professionals make funny comments in English? Also, do you know why Japan doesn't seem to do painkillers? All the best, Steph from Australia. It's not that Japan doesn't do painkillers, it's just that they don't do them in good places. Like, for some reason, they don't stock them in convenience stores. Maybe because of, I don't know, I'm not sure. They don't stock them in convenience stores, which kind of sucks. And you have to go to, like, a special pharmacy to get any kind of medicine in Japan. But I've not broken anything, and I really don't want to now, because it sounds horrible. I broke my wrist when I was like a kid, but stuff this.
They didn't pop it back into place with no anaesthetic. Yeah, I mean, like,
put the bones back.
Knowing full well what you've done and explain. I think maybe the language barrier helped a little bit because you had very little time between what was explained and then it actually happening. You know what I mean? Like, because in Britain, right, this has happened, we're going to need to pop it back into place, this is going to fucking hurt, et cetera, et cetera. But here, at least, they just went, blah, 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 and they're like, I don't know what you said. And then, bang, it's back in place. And you're like, you are strong. You are strong. And you go, what? You are strong. And then just a lot of confusing things happening at the same time, which might have taken the edge off a little bit. But yeah, horrific. Absolutely fucking horrific.
It's bad. I mean, I haven't been to the doctors that many times here, thankfully. But the first time I went, and I wrote about it in the book at length, my experience. It was very bizarre. I sort of went in and he was surrounded by like five or six nurses who sort of sat there like an army around him. And he looked at my throat because I had a really swollen throat and he sort of fell off the chair and was like, oh! And then he very quietly got out a set of crayons and started drawing. And he had this red crayon and he really went to town on this drawing. And then he just pulled out the paper.
Straight at us.
And it was this bright red throat. And he was like, your throat, very bad. And I was like, no shit, you don't need to draw it. I don't need an artist impression. Just give me some morphine or something. Give me all the drugs. And they love IV drips here. And without telling me what they were doing, they marched me off to a room, sat me on a bed, stuffed a needle in my arm and put an IV drip in. And I walked out feeling pretty good. The IV drip did some magic. Yeah. God bless IV. I want IV drip. My personal consumption.
Beautiful.
My morning coffee, IV drip. Let's do it. We've got a story this week. New story about bullet trains. We haven't talked about Shinkansen in a while. They've eluded and evaded us, but changes are coming. Unfortunately, they're getting rid of trolleys on Shinkansen, trolleys selling food. I don't really know why they're doing this, because when you're on a bullet train for 2 or 3 hours and you're hungry and you have no food... It's hard. It's difficult. I've been there. I've done it. And then the trolley comes in.
Sort of jump off the train to have it's not as if you can jump off the train at a station because they're so organised and they go so quickly. You're never going to get any food, are you?
Tis true. But you kind of feel so happy when the trolley's like emerges through the door, wheels in, and it's always got like crisps, coffee, sandwiches, everything you can want. But they're going, and they're now also for sale. You can buy one. Fill us in, Pete. What's going on? These Shinkansen trolleys.
Yeah, I mean, the food and beverage trolleys of the Shinkansen have been obviously very popular over the years. And if you obviously train stations are a hub of like great food, and you can eat whatever you want basically if you pick up like a little kind of bento box to take on the train and stuff. But if you have been late for the train, like I frequently am in every aspect and hour of my life, you get on the train, you're like, oh well, don't worry, the lady will be it always is a lady, unfortunately, the lady will be around with a bento box that I can buy. And it turns out that they're going to stop doing that, which absolutely sucks. I've no idea either why they've bothered to make this massive seismic change. But the carts that they used to use to carry these bento boxes, the length and breadth, or mainly length, of the trains, which can hold up to 50 kilograms of food and drink, were put up for sale in January as the Japan Railway Company discontinued food and drink sales on the popular Tokyo to Osaka Shinkansen route. They were going to just throw them in the bin, but... railway fans really excited about owning a bit of railway history, really. So online bids to secure one of the 50 carts available ended early this month. It received 2,000 bids. 528 quid per trolley these things are going for. It kind of reminds me of when like Concord went up the Swanee. They had like those trolleys from Concord that people really loved, and you could buy a bit of aeronautical history on eBay, and I don't know, just walk up and down your house with a Concorde trolley if you wanted.
Having some shepherd's pie off a off a trolley,
yeah,
from Concorde.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
that's living.
This is the land of the rising train enthusiasts, so I'm not surprised that folks are going to bid for these things. $500 for a trolley that's pretty underwhelming is I can't work out
like
if that's
you'd see in
reasonable
hospital,
or stupid. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
They're not really, I mean, they're not really sort of branded up as like train ones, because like, yeah, it just looks very functional. It looks a little bit airplane-y, it looks a little bit train-y, and yeah, there's nothing really there it's not stylish. But maybe it's evocative for people who obviously lived a long time on the old Shinkansen.
Well, it can hold 50 kilograms of food and drink, so you can put all your favourite crisps and Coke and Pepsi on there. I don't really understand why people would want one of these things, given it doesn't look discernible from a regular non-Shinkansen trolley. I don't really see the appeal, but I know they've saved me many a time, and maybe if I got one, I don't know what I'd put, if I got one, I don't know what I'd do with it, like in the studio, just wheel it around the studio packed full of sandwiches, but it's one of those weird things. I was recently working on the expensive Japan travel video, and I spent a lot of time doing the numbers on bullet trains, and the Japan rail pass really isn't worth it anymore, is it? Very bizarre.
Really,
I don't know why they priced it to the point that it just has no actual value anymore. The only thing I can think of is
the people from outside would just make an absolute hay off it. I mean, it still works. It's
true,
still,
true.
If you go on the length of, again, I'm going to say length and breadth together, but if you go on like north to south, it does make sense, but you really have to really put the miles in to make it financially useful.
I think if you are, the thing is, you'd have to travel so much, it would be an awful holiday to justify the JR rail. But there's a convenience of it all. I did a poll on Twitter, though, or X, if we want to call it that. 17,000 votes, and 72% people said it's not worth it. So verdict out on the Japan rail pass. Don't do it. Unfortunately. We're back just a moment, guys. Your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with a fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Got one from Anna. Hello, Chris and Pete. You both speak very enthusiastically about cars on the podcast. Very new thing for me, Anna. This is very much how I didn't think my life was going to turn out. So I thought I could get your opinions on purchasing a car in Japan and driving. My daughter is currently halfway through her first year with the JET program and recently decided to stay and do a second year. Now she wants to get a car as she's in a small rural town and wants to explore more of Kyushu. I have no idea how to go about this. Are they used car lots like the US? Chris made it look so easy when he bought his car for a journey across Japan. Unlike Pete, I do not plan to have whatever car we buy and have it shipped back to the US. Where do I start looking? Buying a car in the US is nerve-wracking already, but doing it in another country, help. I would really love for her to have some driving lessons since she hasn't spent much time driving in the US on the right side of the road, let alone the left. Kind regards, Anna. Oh, she's going to have a lovely time, Anna. Congratulations for... It's a lovely place to do driving. Absolutely stunning. People are really... kind and generous with their they're gonna be fine. They're gonna be fine, Anna.
Grab yourself a K car, or grab your daughter a K car. I think we got one from Gulliver's. Is the name of the place we got it? It's a big old
Gulliver's. Gulliver's Travels. Yeah, good.
There's a car showroom that's under a lot of heat because what was the name of the company? I think they're called Big Motor. I can't remember if we talked about this or not. It's a fascinating story, but Big Motor were caught killing all the plants in front of their stores because they didn't... though it's not their territory, they were killing plants off with, weed killer because they wanted the view unobstructed of their lavish lots of cars, their big car park lots or whatever. and they did lots of other shady things. So maybe avoid them. Stick with Gulliver's.
Yeah.
But you can get a good K car for, I think we spent... $2,000 or $1,000, whatever it was, and it was great till it got scratched up by a dickhead. So just get a K car. As long as Anna's not doing long distance, she'll be fine. And also, as there's not much snow in Kyushu, K cars are especially good, I think. We got one here from James, who says, "Hello, Cranky Chris and Piddling Pete. I visited Japan 3 years ago and loved it. During this trip, my partner and I had multiple incidents where Japanese people who were able to speak English completely unprovoked came over and helped us. A couple that stand out were when we'd got off the plane and were completely overwhelmed with trying to navigate the train lines. And another was when we were trying to get a table at an overcrowded restaurant. Their consideration really struck a chord with us. So I wanted to ask whether either of you felt that
I'm visiting your living there.
It's a really weirdly, confusingly, awkwardly phrased sentence. If Pete is coming to Japan has given a new set of values or shaped your outlook in any way. Thank you, James. No.
Has it made you kinder? No. Chris? Has it made you a better person dealing with Japanese people who seem quite generous?
I think maybe I'm still a monstrous twat. I'm horrible. I'm awful. Nothing's changed.
Good stuff.
Nothing's changed at
Good
all.
Stuff.
Maybe I'm a little bit more mindful and I'm just awful. We've got one last here from James.
More polite.
I'm probably more polite. I'm more polite. But I think as I got older, maybe that just happens as well. Who knows? We got one last one from another James. He says, "Hello, Corsair Chris, Privateer Pete. Me and my wife are planning our honeymoon to Japan in March 2025, and we will mostly be in the Tokyo-Kyoto area with a possible trip to Takayama. to see the Showa Kan 1950s Museum. I've always wanted to visit Ginzan Onsen because it's beautiful, but feel it may be too far as we're pressed for time with only 8 days and a pretty full itinerary already. Do you know of any similar onsen towns closer to Tokyo or Kyoto with similar vibes and experiences? Thank you both. Love the show. James from the US. I mean, Ginzan Onsen, there's nothing quite like it. What I'll say about Ginzan Onsen is, while it's beautiful and incredible, and you can watch it in one of the most recent videos, I don't like staying there. I've stayed there twice, and the hot spring water is just really hot. It sounds like a stupid...
Too hot!
It sounds like a stupid problem,
too,
right?
Hot.
But, like, it was to the point that I could not step inside it, and neither could Sharla, and it sort of made it not worth going. The really nice hot spring town that's more within range, still has lots of snow and a killer atmosphere, is Kusatsu Hot Spring, which I visited with Connor a couple of years back when we saw the snow monkeys. Really beautiful place, Kusatsu. I've often thought about that place the 2 years since I was last there. And that's a really beautiful place, really beautiful. And I prefer it much more to Ginzan. And also Ginzan's kind of interesting for a couple of hours, but Kusatsu is good for a couple of days, I think. So, yeah, that gets my vote. There's also the hot spring near there that I've not actually visited that inspired Spirited Away, the place from Spirited Away that's around there as well. But, yeah, Kusatsu. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again. To do it all over again. And slur my words.
Do it all over again.
On the
to do it all over again.
Podcast. Time for a Big Mac. Or something healthy. Yeah.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.